live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The concrete crisis hitting schools in England is likely to be on the agenda of this morning's cabinet meeting. Education Secretary Gillian Keegan says the announcement comes at a difficult time.
Parents and children have been looking forward to starting the new term, and I understand the timing of this change in guidance to schools and colleges will have caused concern. However, faced with recent cases, including one that emerged right at the end of the school holidays, I believe 100% that this is the right thing to do.
Children's charity, the NSPCC, are warning that virtual reality is being used to abuse and groom children. It's warning that offenders are being desensitised to their own behaviour. Relatives of Chris Carber, who was shot dead by police 1 year ago, say the wait to hear whether the officer involved will face criminal charges is agonising. And this morning, we'll seek to defend its Best Daytime Show title at the National Television Awards tonight. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £70 million.
Oh, that calls for a dance, Dermot.
Do you know the robot?
I'm a little rusty.
You've still got it.
Never lost it.
You're a machine.
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or
over. Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emmanuel Eko. The early signs of a heart attack can vary. The most common include squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, and a sense that something just isn't right. It can be easy to dismiss the early signs of a heart attack, as the symptoms don't always feel severe. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful
Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you're connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. We're coming to you wherever you are, from the heart of London, on Colorful Radio, all the way from London. It's another wonderful week and wonderful day where we want to talk about Africa, talk about this wonderful continent. Because when we talk about Africa, people think about the wonderful giraffes and lions and the elephants and wildlife wherever you go scattered across Africa, the beauty of the continent. And really beauty of the continent is a beautiful continent, a rich continent with all minerals, maybe that matter to the rest of the world. But then, unfortunately, when you look at Africa politically, it is sometimes awash with crisis, is sometimes scattered with challenges, political challenges in different countries. And sometimes I say, sometimes analysts think if Africa could sort their political problems, Africa would be a paradise. I'm joined by my great friend, Emmanuel Rufi, in this show today, and we scan our focus, we turn our focus to Niger, of course, the latest kid on the block, latest to bring some problems, and in terms of the latest, that's why I'm calling it new kid in the block of problem, political problems. So, Emmanuel, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Of course, describing Africa the way you have just done, I think you are longing for the sunshine.
today is really sunny, and welcome Naughty Festival today.
All right. So that's our test of Africanness, or London, Nottingham Gate, Canfor. Yeah, it's been amazing. It brings some memories back home for those who are from Caribbean and also Africa. So, yeah, Not bad at all. No, no, you see, listeners, Africa has been stable in one way, but in another way, it's been unstable in terms of politics. And as we focus on Niger, Niger just had a successful coup. As we speak, the president is still detained by the military that took power from him. And also, when you look at Niger, the military wants to hold on as they try to talks began to come out, you know, like settle the crisis through peace talk. One of their thinking is that don't talk to us yet. We want to test this new power for some 3 years before we think about peaceful transition. So that is their standpoint. And of course, we have seen, because I want to bring this home, we have seen also the regional bloc, ECOWAS, making a decision to intervene militarily. But then the Niger military tells ECOWAS, if you dare to intervene militarily, we are calling our friends, Burkina Faso, Mali, to come to our aid, and there will be a big war in Africa. Yeah. And then we can see the ECOWAS under stewardship of the new president of Nigeria, Tinubu, say, hang on, guys, we can't do it yet. So Emmanuel, is Tinubu chickening out, or does he have reasonable or logical thinking?
Thank you very much, Julius. From the latest report, really, it's like Tinubu is backing out of a war. It's a far cry from the Samba words we were hearing about 2 weeks ago, since 26th of July, when the military took over, the junta took over power in the Niger Republic. Very stable democracy before, very hailed by the West as a stable state, and now the military suddenly took over. But ECOWAS, I mean, with all his powers available to them, wanted to intervene to remove the new junta and bring back Mohamed Bazoum, who was elected democratically. So we have an issue at hand. Why ECOWAS suddenly now want to invade Niger Republic? Whereas we have similar cases in Mali, we have similar cases in Burkina Faso. They never did it. They have been silent, they have been quiet over the years, and military have been taking over power in these countries. But what is the case in Niger Republic, in Niger? Why did ECOWAS want to turn the place into a proxy war? And I think ECOWAS, they saw the signals. A war with Sierra Leone will be a proxy war that will not do the region any good, because already the region itself, the Sahel region, is an unstable region. We have insurrection, military insurgents, unemployment, we have underdevelopment. The French have been expelled from Mali and also facing issues in Burkina Faso. The French embassy, the Nigerian embassy in Niger has been burnt. The French ambassador to Niger has been asked to leave, but she refused to leave.
Exactly.
So it's a very, very unstable situation, very funny situation. And I think they saw the signals and decided not to. They are backing down now from the latest report. That's what I can see.
I'm happy you brought that around. And of course, yes, I know the Niger, just like in Burkina Faso or even Mali, they've had issues with France, or because they are former colonial master. And of course, they've been trying to chase them away, which we understand. We have seen also a different dimension whereby the Wagner, the Russian Wagner military, private military wing, which does the dirty work for Russia, which is used by Russia to pursue its other interests that cannot be pursued in a normal constitutional manner. We have seen, funny enough, in Niger, Russia being embraced, France being kicked out, but France say no. Again, I mean, what do you think about even France saying we're not going to withdraw our ambassador? How now?
The French have been so entrenched in French West Africa for a long time, even since independence 1960. Most of them gained independence 1960, but they are still entrenched. They gave them the French language in Mali. I mean, I heard that Mali is banning French language. That cannot happen. In the French West Africa, French is a spoken language. And France ambassador to Niger says she's not leaving. We are looking at one moving from one colonial power to another colonial power. The French have been a colonial power in that region. Now, can Niger, is this a transmission or transition from one colonial power to another colonial power, which is Russia? That is what the French are looking at. They don't want to leave that region. France, Niger is a very strategic country to French interests. You have a lot of interest there. You have a lot of mineral resources, uranium, which have been exploiting over the years. And it will be difficult for France. They have their troops there. They have French to be having. I mean, you have 1,500 troops there, the French base. You have the American base there. You can't just overnight that to leave. You are not going to leave with ease. So that's what I know. It's going to be a difficult thing just to ask the French to leave. Even in Mali, they are still there by proxy. In Mali, Burkina Faso, Chad, and the rest. France is everywhere. But the issue is for how long? We now know that French power in Africa is waning. It's on the wane. It's going down. But it will take some time.
And do you think in terms of the Niger targeting embassies, especially you spoke about the Nigerian embassy. Nigeria was one of the countries they wanted to kick out the ambassadors. Why are they kicking out ambassadors? What's the issue? I mean,
yeah, because of the rambas, satire, the rhetorics from Tinubu, who is the chairman of the ECOWAS. Tinubu is the chairman of the ECOWAS. So all Tinubu is looking for is messages from the member states of ECOWAS. And they believe that Tinubu is the one orchestrating it. But he's just the chairman of ECOWAS. He's not the ECOWAS. ECOWAS is made up of 35 states. And they believe Nigeria, being the chairman, most powerful state within the region, is orchestrating the move to invade the country. And even there was a standby troop already. And this Mali and Burkina Faso also reacted to this move, sending fighter jets or whatever to Niger Republic. So they are targeting the embassies, which is not good enough. Nigerian embassy in Niamey was burnt. And why Nigeria? I don't know. The French embassy is still there. The German embassy is still there. The Russian embassy is still there. The French ambassador refused to leave because he never recognized the authority of Abdurrahman Tchiani as a democratically elected president of the country. So it's a junta. So we are looking at the situation as it unfolds. ECOWAS has a lot to do this period because if they back down now, which means they are looking at they want the transitional program. They want the Chinese transition program to come out and scale down the number of years. So they've already backed down already. Now, reducing it from 3 years, the man said it will be there for 3 years. he will now tell them, okay, well, okay, I'll be there for 18 months, just like Mali is doing. And that's it. Have you ever seen ECOWAS remove a coupist in West Africa? It has never happened. There's never a time ECOWAS removed, I mean, reinstalled a democratically elected president that was overthrown. That never happened.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Of course, we don't endorse schools, and schools should be a thing of the past in Africa. But supposing you were to imagine a situation whereby the military junta in Niger is the power in the country and is being supported by Niger citizens. How does it look like when France says we can't take our ambassador away and we cannot recognize you? That's point number one. Point number two, what does that refusal by France to bring the ambassador home look like? If you were the ambassador, would you want to stay? Because as I'm speaking to you now, so far, the regime in Niger is, imposing very local sanctions, like we're going to close off your embassy, a residential home, and you're not going to have food supply.
It's a dicey situation, you know, when you have your embassy in the army, a very volatile region like Niger, very volatile. You have insurgents everywhere, and I'm very apprehensive of the embassy there. Hopefully, the ambassador is safe. Hopefully, France is able to secure the ambassador, because anything can happen at any time. In case there is any war, then there's going to be serious issues on how to evacuate the ambassador. Meanwhile, US, EU have evacuated their citizens, just the ambassador. They believe the ambassador is the last person there. So once the ambassador leaves a country, that means you severe your ties with that country. So that is the issue. It's a volatile situation. Troops are ready to invade from Mali, Burkina Faso, and I think Tinubu is just taking his time, calling for reconciliation, peaceful resolution of the issue. Or anything outside peaceful resolution will lead to a proxy war, as I've just mentioned, and it can affect a lot of things within the country, within the sub-Sahel region. And don't forget that this is a trend now in that Sahel. We don't know. We don't want that a war to extend into other regions. Supposing there's a coup in Nigeria now, who is coming to rescue? Who will now rescue Nigeria?
It will be total confusion to the world, because the name Niger is so confused with Nigeria. They're so close, and it will be chaos, because which countries? Which country is which? Is it Niger? Is it Nigeria?
Yeah.
It can be confusing.
People confuse them for each other. But I think Niger, I don't know why the coup, because Niger has been a very important ally to the EU. First of all, it's a route whereby people travel down to Europe. Again, we have a lot of resources. Uranium is found there. But the EU, the EU discovered that Niger has to be peaceful for that exploration to take place. Europe depends so much on uranium for their industries. If the export of uranium stops, European industries will collapse. Especially the energy industry will collapse in the European Union. So similarly with France, same thing with other European countries. So it's a very important country. I remember when the president of Kenya said recently that the coup in Niger is a very big setback. President Ruto said this recently. It's a setback in the sense that there's going to be a serious era of, within the next 2-3 months, up to 6 months, there's going to be a lot of destabilization in terms of the development within the region. So we watch now to see what will happen.
Indeed, listeners, you're listening to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. Let's talk about coups. Is coups something which is African? Precisely not. According to a research by Powell and Thain, the world as a whole has experienced coups in one place or the other. Of course, out of 486 attempted or successful coups carried out around the world since 1950s, 214 have been on the ground in Africa, with 106 of them being successful. So when you look on, in terms of regional check, Africa had 214 coups, attempted coups, and then they had 106 successful ones. Latin America had 146, and then 76 of those failed. When you look into East Asia, they had 49 coup attempts, only 49 had coup attempts, and then 22 failed. Middle East, 44, with 23 failing. Europe. Don't think that they've never seen coup. They don't know how it looks like. Since 1950s, Europe had 17 attempted coups, and actually 9 of them succeeded. Talk about South Asia, 16 attempted coups, only 6 failing, with 10 succeeding. So coups are not a specialism of the African continent, as the world wants to always portray that. I thought we'd get that out of the way. But then, you see, when you look into Africa, you know, it's got the largest share of coups. But we're talking from 1950s. You know, over the years, after countries got independence, coups started happening a lot, from whether it's Ghana to Nigeria to Burundi, whatever. They started to go down. So it's not been a very latest development. I just want us to check Africa as well, to focus a bit more on Africa. Yeah. So we have Sudan as the leading country with many attempted coups, a whole 17. Sure. 17 coups, Sudan. Talk about the next to that is Burundi. Burundi is a quiet country. You may think nothing ever happens there. I don't know, maybe the world doesn't cover their news a lot, but they're the ones who have had the second highest attempted coups in Africa, with 11 of them. Then we had Ghana with 10, Sierra Leone with 9, Comoros with 9, Benin with 8, Nigeria with 8, Mali with 8, Guinea-Bissau with 8, and then you have all these other countries sharing 7-7, which are Togo, Republic of Congo, Niger, Chad, Mauritania. And it goes on and on. If you go down with the countries with the lowest, of course, you have Egypt with 4, DRC with 4, Algeria with 4. all the way Liberia, Lesotho, Ivory Coast, all those ones have had four coup attempts, you know. So when you look into, wow, the continent of Africa, you may be tempted to think democracy means overthrow. Sad. So what's your take on this? I mean, just immediately to react on that.
We had Nigeria 8 coups. But when you look at the structure of the coup, they don't, military explanations do not really explain military intervention. Most of the personnel, some of them captain, lieutenant, colonel of junior rank, just overthrow a government. What do they know about democracy? They come to maybe to restore order. But most of the people, when you look at them thoroughly, okay, like the Mali, the coup there, he said it was to restore independence of Mali. We know there's a lot of Islamic insurrection in the region. There is violence within the Sahel region. There is Islamic terrorists from Boko Haram to ISIL, all within that region there. So when they come to power, they say, well, it's to restore peace, it's to restore order. But that doesn't always happen. At the end of the day, they install themselves again in power as president of those countries. So the explanation given by the military coming to power does not really tally with the reason why they came to power. It has not. Even in Nigeria, many of those coups, when the military come to power, they do the same thing that the civilians were doing that led to the overthrow. So it has never happened. Coups are a phenomenon in Africa. I think they should do away with it. Let the best civilian regime is better than the military rule. I think we should do away with the era of coups in Africa, where a general rank in the army. Look at what happened in the Niger Republic. This man was to have been removed, Abdurrahman Tchiani, was to have been removed by Bazoum. And because he believed that there was going to be a reshuffle within the military, he quickly planned a coup. He quickly planned a coup to remove Bazoum. And so it was for test for power. Once you test power, and you give them transition of 6 months, 7 months, they install themselves into power again and do the same thing that the civilian did that led to the regime. So military coup should be outlawed. They should be outlawed forever. People should have democracy. People should have human rights, enthronement of human rights, enthronement of democracy in Africa. Africa need the rule of law to be entrenched. They need democracy to be entrenched, human rights to be entrenched, though it's not perfect anyway. So I think coup should be a thing of the past in Africa.
Colorful radio.
Let's focus on the international dimension to Niger crisis, because we see a situation whereby although it's a coup in one country known as Niger, it seems to be like a war of two forces. And you're talking about the West's interference and their interest in Niger as a producer of uranium and minerals, versus the children who are seen as out of the mainstream of the world order, like Russia and the BRICS. You see the evolution of BRICS coming into play as well. There are countries that are being supported. They are seen to be on the same page with Russia, we're talking about China, Brazil, talking about India, and also some countries in the Middle East. When we just came from witnessing the more countries being invited to join BRICS in South Africa, yeah. All the BRICS countries are on the side of Russia. And then you have your NATO-fronted Western allies who have been former colonial masters to these countries. And that's when you look into Niger right now, you see this Judah being embraced by Russia. I mean, when you see the leader of the coup, you can see him taking pictures with the President Putin. And you also the leader of the Wagner supposed to have been killed in a plane crash. Yeah, and you see, funny enough, you see some countrymen in Niger celebrating. Why? Because they want to see France go.
So my question to you,
war started, does it mean then you're going to have BRICS versus NATO war being fought on the ground in Niger?
No, the coup in Niger was just like sweet news for Russia, because you see, Western powers have colonized Africa for a long time. Russia is looking for a foothold in Africa. It is the only country that has not colonized, have any colony in Africa. So French colonies are all over the whole place. France took over a chunk of African territories, and now we now have new currency proposals coming up, the BRICS and then the dollar. So there is what happened in Niger is going to have serious repercussions. You see, they're planting Russian flags in most of the French countries. I believe Russia wants to have their foothold in Africa, not just for mineral resources, but also to expand their political structure in Africa. And you see a lot of jubilations in the Niger Republic by the ordinary people there. Why? The people are tired of French rule. The people are tired of Mali. They're tired of French rule in Mali. Burkina Faso is the same. All those French, France have exploited these places with nothing to show for it. How can you have 37% illiteracy in Niger? And you just speak the French language. What is the colonial legacy of France, of French West Africa? What is the legacy? So Russia is seeing it as an opportunity to come in, and we don't know whether it's called colonialism or colonial rule, but I think they want to have expand their Russian influence in Africa for many reasons. So the BRICS the last few days ago, Nigeria failed to join BRIC. So Nigeria is out of the equation for BRIC. So meaning that all other countries who are in the BRIC equation, they will form up against the dollar. So Nigeria Republic it will turn out to be an international ground to test this. It's just like the Cold War again, coming back into space. Into space. The Russia, with all his allies, and EU, US, and Britain, on the other side. It's going to be a test case of international relations within Africa. And I think if we as I said earlier, I don't think Mohamed Bazoum is coming back. With Abdurrahman Tchiani holding on to power, they're giving him more time. If ECOWAS failed to invade the country and they give Abdurrahman Tchiani more time, that guy is going to be the next civilian president of Niger. And Russia will be happy for it, and all its allies. Yeah.
Indeed, you are very right in terms of international politics playing on the ground in Africa, and I kind of feel like the era of USSR, the era of communism, the era of, you know, USSR and the communism political ideology, whereby the West was fighting, fronting what they call democracy. And then, of course, USSR and, you know, being seen as pursuing, and you know, communism ideology in terms of politics. Actually, how serious is this divide? Because you see, these coups are happening in Africa. They are also affected, or they are happening because of this international political divide. What do I mean by that? We see in October 2021, you have UN's Secretary General Guterres saying there were three main reasons for the increase in coups in 2021. And this was due to geopolitical divide between nations. And he says, cited that Security Council, United Nations Security Council, because you know he's got five members, permanent members, with the veto power, which means if any of these countries fought against any decision, is not going to happen. So we have United Nations Security Council being unable to take a strong measure in response to coups. Why was that? For example, because Russia and China, both with veto power in United Nations Security Councils, voted to block Security Council from imposing sanctions on Mali's coup leaders. So you can see now how it plays out, even in terms of international. So the Western NATO alliance say, oh, let's impose sanctions on these military juntas. Then Russia, China don't.
Don't also forget the international, within the international sphere, what happened in Ukraine-Russia war. The fallout for it. Don't forget the gas pipeline to Russia. What it has affected Russia there. And there's a proposal to build a gas pipeline from Nigeria to Europe, which will cost $13 million. That gas pipeline is stalled now. And that is to the advantage of Russia. Russia wants to punish the EU for the war in Ukraine. So there's an economic aspect to it. Now, what will happen now is that they are planning a new pipeline from Nigeria through Morocco to supply supply Europe with the gas. So it's an economic war, not just political, economic, with Russia having a foothold in the Niger Republic. It should be able to, Russia have said they will triple the price of uranium. If they have a stronghold there, they will triple the price of uranium up to $70,000, because they need it. They need uranium so badly. America also need it. Britain need it. So it's a war, it's an economic war there. So the issue at stake is the Niger imbroglio is going to turn out to be an international war, not just within ECOWAS alone. It's the whole world is at attention right now.
And when you look into the map of Africa, it's a bit scary. And what now they call it, coup belt, involves countries which are next door neighbors to each other. Because you're talking about the Sahel region. You see, Sahel, Burkina Faso next to Chad, Guinea, Mali, Niger, all the way to Sudan. And it's like a line from West Africa to all the way to East, up to where Sudan is, you see. And the iron of it, as much as ECOWAS wants to take action, as much as Africa Union wants to take action, then you see there's a different dimension there. Why have they not intervened militarily in Sudan?
Yeah, so that's the thing.
People are dying.
Conflict is
very much alive.
Yeah, what has been happening?
Yeah.
All this while, why is ECOWAS silent?
Why are they silent? Why is Africa Union silent on Sudan?
Yeah. Why are they silent on Sudan? Why are they silent on Burkina Faso? On Chad? Nobody intervened there. Suddenly in the Niger Republic, and suddenly they want to go to war with Niger. What is happening here? There's something.
And then you see what it forms. They call it coup belt. It's a very ugly mark on the map of Africa.
I saw the map.
The top part of Africa, countries next to each other.
The Sahel region. What happened is that those coups were informed by, they said, according to the military, military people who overthrew the government, they said there's as a result of Islamic terrorists or ISIL or the combined banditry or whatever, insecurity. They use insecurity as an excuse for the intervention. So how come insecurity from Mali to Burkina Faso to Chad, and nobody has been able to, have this insecurity been ended? It has continued unabated within that Sahel region. Now it is sent to Niger Republic. So we don't know who is next on the line.
And I like the question, who is next? Because Emmanuel, in only the last past 18 months, in 18 months period, we've seen coup in Mali, Chad, Guinea, Sudan, and Burkina Faso, and now in Niger, in 18 months period.
Yes. So if it happened, let's God forbid it happened in Nigeria, who is going to intervene for Nigeria?
Exactly. And the only hope, which would have been United Nations to intervene, our only hope there, they come and you find they are divided. So you have Russia and China on one page. And the rest, Britain, America, is which other country, all of them on the other side. Yeah, so you ask yourself, what does this United Nations representation of countries in the world look like? Because it's not fit for purpose. They argue that some of the countries who have veto power on United Nations Security Council, most of them are in Europe. Europe, when you compare Europe and India, the population is much higher in India than Europe, maybe. Yes. And when you look into also a country like all these other regions in the world, talk about China. I mean, China is represented, but many other places like Africa with over 1.3 billion people, there's no representation on United Nations Security Council. And maybe then its decision, if it's not, Africa is not represented, may not be so much binding or respectful, you know?
Yes. The United Nations is on the tutor bulldog. What have they done since its formation in 1945? What have they done? What has been the achievement of United Nations? The regional wars, proxy wars, have continued unabated all over the world, even with the United Nations. All they just back imposed sanctions. How did sanctions work? How did sanctions work in some of these countries, North Korea and Iran and Iraq, some of those countries? Sanctions have not really worked. And United Nations is not fully represented of Africans. So they have the full veto power to veto any of these interventions. I never see a situation where United Nations intervene physically, except in few areas, but it has not been successful. So I think there should be a rethink on the role of the United Nations. But within Africa, these interventions, military interventions, there should be a formula whereby they should put an end to these military insurrections, these military intervention by the young officers, especially for the rank of colonels. I don't really know why, how successful some of these coups have been. The reason why they came to power have not really been achieved within the region.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Yeah, when I look into the purpose of anything, because if you say a force like NATO, an alliance like NATO, you can see they have authority with them, because if NATO wanted to intervene somewhere militarily, nothing will stop it. And we have seen them going to Iraq, seen them going to Afghanistan, and that gives kind of authority to an organization. But when I look at our continent in Africa, we have a long way to go in terms of standing on our feet, because if you talk about Africa Union and you see whatever is done through that umbrella body, there's so much involvement of these Western countries from its Africa Union's budget and all that. Talk about also economic independence. If you were to look into, for example, Africa Development Bank, you see who are actually the ones contributing and hold the shares. You see again the huge presence of these Western countries. So when does Africa stand on its feet? When does Africa call the shots? Because if you're not paying the bills, you cannot call the shots. When does Africa, for example, come up with an agenda of total freedom for Africa, stand on its feet, begin to say to the rest of the world, we are going to live in the same world, we are going to transact, we are going to trade, we are going to talk about global governance, but at an equal foot, whereby you are not going to tell us what's going to happen, or we are not, don't look like Africa is begging for anything, but we are coming as an equal partner. Those are my questions when I see all this happening. Look at now, in terms of intervening. Niger crisis is informing us that we are fighting wars that are not our wars.
Yes.
You have a country like Niger, the military junta being supported by a Western power.
Yes.
The only elected president since colonial era in 1960 in Niger, the only elected president being toppled. And again, you'd not be surprised he's in support of another Western country.
Yes, yeah.
So, I want to look into what is in Niger that is so attractive, that doesn't want France to ever leave. Because it's attracting the attention of Russia wants to come in.
it's so very, very funny, because well, there's no independence of Africa. Africa is still, the dependence ratio on the West is very high. We are still dependent on the West for everything. Even our own elections that elected the African leaders, are they fair? Are they free? Are they really credible elections? And the West know this. So they prop up the leaders very well. As we speak, the election tribunal for Nigerian president has not delivered a verdict yet. There's so much at stake there. Similarly, other elections in Africa have not been credible. So the dependency ratio is so high. Africa is still dependent on West for technology, for trade, for a lot of things. So I was just meditating. What is the Niger Republic? This man was credibly elected. Bazoum was credibly elected. And suddenly he was overthrown. And the reason for the overthrow, I've not really understood the reason yet.
The military junta says that they want to prosecute him for violating state security.
Well, and what kind of state security? We all know very well that Abdurrahman Chani, or whatever they call him, want power. There was planned to restructure the military, and he was removed. So most of these most of these military interventions, as I've said, they don't really explain the intervention. The reasons they give, they're not right. As I've also mentioned, the military junta will remain there and transmute themselves to civilian regime within the next few, because ECOWAS has failed so far. They said they are going to have a standby tool to restore democracy, and as we speak, nothing is being done. So it follows that the junta may come up with maybe 6 months or 9 months transition program. And then they say, okay, all right, they don't want war. And then they listen to the West. It's okay, no need to fight a war in the Niger Republic. And here it is. The man is there. Look for 6 months, maybe extend it to another nine months or 1 year. And then he conduct the elections in Mali. The head of the transition program there is the military junta. And then he makes himself the next president of the Niger Republic by the support of the West or Russia. So we are still not there yet.
We are not. What do you make of the call by the military junta leader in Niger telling ECOWAS, if you dare interfere militarily, we're going to call our brothers, Burkina Faso and Mali, to come and help us out. So is this the new brotherhood, military junta brotherhood,
ganging
up against ECOWAS?
It's a new brotherhood. They are all the same. Look at what happened. Nigeria now sent the ulama, the religious clerics in Nigeria, be sent to Niger to appeal to the president there. Can you imagine? All this while we have a lot of issues in Nigeria. We have issues of poverty. We have subsidy removal. We have a lot of people are going through hell, change of naira. We didn't hear of the ulamas. Now, suddenly, we now see ulamas going to settle dispute, to settle the reconciliation program in Niger. Now, Burkina Faso, Mali, and the rest, they are like brothers. They are ready to support Niger Republic. They've already sent their military jets.
Yeah, I saw Burkina Faso buying more, increasing their military capacity by buying new war.
Yes, even Niger has placed their military on a high alert in case of any intervention. There was rumors that Niger may be invaded, maybe suddenly or within the last few days, but we don't know how far that is true. So I think there's a kind of brotherhood, as you use the word brotherhood, and they need help. How many troops do Niger Republic have? Do they have a standing army? What is the number of the army in Niger Republic? And so they need help from their brothers in Burkina Faso and Mali to withstand any military intervention. But I don't think that military intervention will take place.
I think it may cause more problems and the crisis may be exacerbated. Because when you look into what role will each interested party play, what role will Wagner of Russia play? What role will the NATO alliance on the ground, France and their friends from the West, what role will they play? And you see, What role does even now the military junta play vis-a-vis those Nigerians who love what should be democracy? I mean, those who voted for a civilian president. See the problem. My worry is when you talk about ECOWAS, it's not an easy decision for them to make, because it's like striking a beehive full of bees. You don't know which direction they will go. Emmanuel, it's always a pleasure to host you. And as we focus on Niger, we wish Africa the best. And yes, African, rise up wherever you are. Let's stand on the ground, learn to be independent, learn to
offer Africa in focus.
Come call out the name. Charge the T, you operate like it's a brain surgery. Man, I'm sick, they must be sick if they want f- with
Waze. Tell us, say, yeah, we run the area.
I tell you, say, mate, we run the area.
But let me tell you, say, yeah, we run the area.
I tell you, say, mate, we run the area.
I don't care if you want and do me. Worldwide tone, we kill them with it. Royal child of the music, see me. Promise I sing, never can stop with it. Perfect pitch, yeah, you can't chat to me. Knife and fork, I fight for dumpling. Dance all style, you know we're thumping. Reggae music on my everything. Mixing the star rocks, that is yanking. How we come around, hey, I'm stepping, I need a come on, say. New kings, now we grow, yeah, not like it's a uptown store.
I wanna play.
Ikel.
Lava. Hello, says I'm in danger. I don't. I don't.